In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading the prayers of Gajendra's surrender. In this particular verse, Gajendra is describing the wonderful quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original cause of everything. In this material world, all the activities, there is a cause and effect relation. For every effect, there is a cause, and that cause has some other effect also. Goes on in a cycle. This cycle, it's a vicious cycle, goes on, and it ends in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes when we preach, we say that the Supreme Lord is the cause of this universe. Then who is the cause of that Supreme Lord? Who caused him? Because in the day-to-day life, we have experience of, for everything there has to be a cause. Somebody caused it. Something is falling down, there is some cause, we don't know what is that cause. Somebody must have dropped it, something falls down from there. Maybe somebody standing there dropped it. Or this POP ceiling, it became very old and it started falling on its own. The self weight of the POP is more than what it can bear, then it fell down also. That is also a cause. You can explain. Or maybe some strong earthquake and then it made it to fall. There may be so many causes. Lord Krishna, when he said that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the one who caused everything. As Karano Dakasai Vishnu, Karana is the cause. He is lying down in the causal ocean. From his bodily pores, bubbles like universes come out. And the material energy is in the unmanifest form. And Karano Dakasai Vishnu glances at this material energy and he causes different things to manifest. He causes. That's why he's called Karano Dakasai Vishnu. Otherwise, Pradhana is the unmanifest, sum total of all the material elements, 24 elements. You can't differentiate, undifferentiated, unmanifest. Time has not even started. No action, reaction. When Mahavishnu glances at this unmanifest material nature, then he actually makes the time to start. Three modes of material nature which are in equilibrium, he disturbs that equilibrium. Because of that, all the material elements starts manifesting one after another. That's a part of creation. So Lord Vishnu is the original cause and the original creator. In the material world, we refer Brahma as the creator, but he is only the secondary creator. Sri Sri Radha Rasvihari Ji Ki, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Brahma is known as creator, but he is not the original creator. He is only the secondary creator. The ingredients were there and he didn't have any idea what to do, how to do. Lord Krishna within the heart, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So within the heart, he inspires him, gives him the transcendental knowledge, how to even create. He didn't know how to create. Because Lord Krishna gives this original, he is the original creator. So, from the bodily pores, this universe manifested and then he glances at it and the material Pradhana gives rise to Prakriti, and Lord Brahma is inspired and he creates. Question is, who created God? Because we are used to the logic, material logic, that for everything there has to be some cause. We cannot conceive a reality in which there is one supreme original cause and there is no cause for it. That is in the transcendental domain. Because we don't have any experience, we don't have any knowledge about it, we are not able to even, accept it or understand it. So the same cause effect, it can go on in the material domain. But in the spiritual domain, this cannot continue indefinitely. And it stops at Lord Krishna, who is the original supreme cause. There is no cause to Krishna. He existed originally. There is no cause. But when he wants to perform his pastime, then he takes birth and he does so many janma, karma, chame, divyam, it's all transcendental, divyam. And people think, well, this is he. When he came also, he underwent that. So there should be something in the spiritual world. No. The spiritual world, there is no cause for Krishna. There is no cause. It stops there. The logic of cause and effect stops in God. There is nothing beyond that. So, here, Gajendra is mentioning about how Lord Krishna is above all the causations and effects of the material world. All the causes and effects are there. Universes are created, annihilated, going on. And Krishna remains above all these things. Like the creation happens, there is a process of annihilation also. And there are different levels of annihilations. At the end of every Kali Yuga, there is one kind of annihilation. And then at the end of Manvantara, 71 Divya Yugas, there is a different kind of annihilation. At the end of the day of Brahma, even Brahma goes to sleep. Different level of annihilation. And at the end of the lifetime of Brahma, complete annihilation. So, it is mentioned that when the annihilation has to happen, it is Lord Ananta. We generally understand that Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction, annihilation. But Lord Shiva also has got a cause. It is not that on his own he can annihilate. It is stated that Shankarshan, who is in the form of Ananta, is actually in the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. Within this universe, it's a Garbhodaka ocean. And Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is lying down, from whose navel the lotus flower sprouts, and in that lotus this Brahma is born for this universe. So this Ananta, Sankarsana, when he sees that all the time is over, time is up for annihilation, destruction has to happen, then he becomes agitated, little angry. So when he becomes angry, from the mouth of Sankarsana, the fire starts coming. And from in between his two eyebrows, Rudra comes. Generally, we have read from Srimad Bhagavatam that how Lord Brahma begot four Kumaras from his mind. The four Kumaras became saintly and they didn't want to continue with the progeny. So when Lord Brahma was a little bit angry, from the in between the two eyebrows, Rudra comes. It is stated that these 11 Rudras, the complete manifestation, at the time of, so the destruction has not happened. So actually when the destruction has to happen, from in between the eyebrows of Shankarshan, Ananta, the same Rudra, who is a manifestation of all these 11 Rudras, come again. Now he has to do the job. In the beginning, he doesn't have to do any destruction actually. That is why Lord Brahma said, no, now it is not the time. You just be, absorbed in meditation. Now you don't have to do your job. We will tell you when you have to do. And that time comes when actual destruction has to happen. The destruction is also initiated by Ananta only. Like creation is initiated by Mahavishnu, destruction also gets initiated by Ananta. And when Ananta's mouth fire comes and from his two eyebrows Rudra comes, then he is ready for his natural job. And he starts dancing. Prabhupada says, Rudra Tandava, Nataraj, expert dancer, Lord Shiva. So when he does Rudra Tandavam, then it's going to be destruction. So it is said that when the time for destruction comes, the fire from the mouth of Ananta gets emanating for 36,000 years, 100 years of demigods, 100 years of demigods. Continuously fire, it's only fire, so much so that like summer, after summer, you get rains, monsoon. So 36,000 years after the fire, then the rain of devastation starts. Continuous rain. Pralaya. It is said that the rain won't come in drops, it will come in barrels. We see now drops are coming, It's like pump, from pump the barrels, what, how much it will come. So much so that all the planetary systems gets submerged in water. Especially at the end of the day of Brahma, astap the Brahma Loka, all the planets get submerged. Everything is destroyed. Nothing exists. And it is stated that when the fire manifests from the mouth of Ananta, it is so hot that even the great rishis, they actually travel to higher planet system, higher and higher. The lower place there is fire, they go to higher and higher planet system. So much so that at the end of the day of Brahma, Brahma has to go to sleep. Everything is destroyed. There is no light, complete darkness. That is what Gajendra is mentioning here. When the complete annihilation happens, there will not be any sunshine and moonshine. In this material world, we get light because of sunshine. So there won't be any sunshine, there won't be any moonshine, complete darkness. And the Supreme Lord is above the darkness. In fact, he is the source of light for sun also. It is mentioned that Aditya Varnam Tamasap Parastat. So the shine, sunshine, like that glowing sunshine, that sunshine comes from Lord Krishna. And he is beyond all the darkness, even beyond the darkness of the, annihilation of this universe. So at the end of the, this is at the end of the day of Brahma. So when Brahma goes to sleep, then when he goes to sleep in his dream, again he gets association of the Supreme Lord. And again the Supreme Lord inspires him how to recreate the entire thing what he has created. When the Supreme Lord inspires a person, he can inspire in the dream also. It's Brahma's dream. It's not like our dream. It's not like their dream. But reality. It's real. So he gets inspiration so that he can recreate the entire universe again. At the end of lifetime of Brahma, when that annihilation happens, then that time all the 24 elements that is manifested, they merge the subtler elements, the grosser elements keep merging into the subtler elements. Like Prakriti, then slowly it becomes Pradhan, unmanifest, undifferentiated material nature. And that material nature, when Mahavishnu inhales, it just goes and merges into the body of Mahavishnu. All the living entities that are inside the universe, they also go into the body of Mahavishnu. Other than those who have performed Krishna consciousness, they can go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, go back to the body of Mahavishnu. Again, when another he exhales, the universe is going to come. When he is going to glance at this universe again, the sum total of the material nature, by his glance, he injects the souls into the universe. The souls are injected to the universe simply by the glance of Karano Daka Sai Vishnu. So in this way, it is mentioned by Gajendra here how Lord Krishna is beyond all the cause and effect. The material world, all the activities, cause and effect, cycle goes on. He is beyond and is the source of all the causes. Sarva karana karanam, he is the cause of all causes and nothing is caused to him. And he is above all the directors and maintainers of this universe. As we said, Lord Brahma, even though he is creator, he functions the role of a creator. And Lord Krishna is the original creator who gives intelligence to create also. Lord Shiva, who is the annihilator, destroyer, for him also the inspiration comes from Lord Krishna in the form of Ananta. And the power to destroy also comes from him. And obviously he is the maintainer also. So even though so many activities are taken care by so many directors and maintainers, Krishna is the supreme original cause of everything. And even when the darkness exists, and he is the supreme light, transcendental light. So Gajendra is recollecting the prayer that he has learned about the supreme personality of Godhead's original causal nature, and is praying to the Lord to accept him at the lotus feet. He is surrendering unto the supreme Lord. Today is also Rukmini Dwadasi, the appearance day of Srimati Rukmini Devi. So we take this opportunity to discuss about some pastimes of Lord Krishna with Rukmini. Rukmini Devi was born to Bhishmaka in Vidarbha, the Vidarbha's king. Maharashtriyane, Vidarbha king Bhishmaka had 5 sons, Rukmi, Rukmarata, Rukmabahu, Rukmakesha and Rukmamali, 5 sons, and the 6th one was Rukmini. And it is described, she was the goddess of fortune, she was the goddess of fortune herself. And none other than Sita, in different incarnations she descends and performs pastimes with the Lord as a consort. And her beauty was described, so many slokas. She was emblem of all beauty, emblem of all good qualities, everything in superlative degree you can describe. So when Rukmini attained the marriageable age, she had a good opportunity of hearing from Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a special personality. He keeps visiting places and makes things happen. But it ends in a good thing only always. So he went to the palace of Bhishmaka, and obviously Rukmini, the princess, she served Narada Muni, and Narada Muni was doing some Krishna Katha. So he was describing about Lord Krishna. How Lord Krishna, is in Dwaraka, and what are his great activities, how he looks like, how beautiful he is, how powerful he is, so and so forth. So when Rukmini heard about Lord Krishna, then she thought that if she has to marry, she should marry Krishna. She thought in her mind. So her father and all other, they all felt that is right. Yes, Krishna is is most powerful, and Rukmini should get married to him. Whereas Rukmi was not in favor. He's the eldest son. He was not in favor. He said, no, who is this Krishna? He's a coward boy. He's not a real Kshatriya. He grew up here and he started telling all his wonderful pastimes as a disqualification. He said, no. He said, I have a very good prince, more powerful, Pakka Kshatriya. Who is that? Shishupal. So he said, no, she should get married to Shishupal. Father said, no, what are you talking? No, you have to do this. So he was the eldest son, and his father, even though he was not very, agreeing to it, he said, finally gave up. Theek hai, kya karega? He said, no, I am not going to allow Rukmini getting married to Krishna. Shishupal only should be married. And then unwillingly agreed, and the arrangement for marriage was made. All the princes were called. It's a royal wedding, actual royal wedding. Even we can see some rich men having wedding, very elaborate wedding. You can imagine how the kings used to have wedding. So all the other princes, everybody was called, and it's a big event. So Rukmini, in the meantime, sent a Brahmana messenger with a letter. Rukmini wrote a love letter to Krishna. She said, oh, my dear Lord, I want to take shelter at your lotus feet, but this marriage is arranged. And she is writing, you please come and save me. Please come and kidnap me. That also not in the palace. There will be if some kidnapping happened, there will be some resistance also. Not that everybody is going to allow, yeah, come and take like that. There may be a fight. She said, no, the day before the marriage, in the royal tradition, they are supposed to visit the Durgaji temple, Durga Mata temple. So when we go there, at the time you can kidnap. Even she has specified all the details, when to kidnap, where to kidnap, etc. So the Brahmana went from all the way to Vidarbha, to Dwaraka, Maharashtra to Gujarat. Now it is Maharashtra, Gujarat. Those days it is all Bharata Varsha. So he went to Dwaraka, and then gatekeepers were there. He said, I am a messenger coming from Vidarbha, Rukmini's messenger. I want to give the message to Lord Krishna. They said, yes. Lord Krishna read. And by the way, Lord Krishna also already heard about Rukmini. He also decided that he should marry her. It's not one way, both ways. Then Lord Krishna called his chariot driver, chalo, let's go to Vidarbha. Then Balaram saw what is happening. He said that Lord Krishna is going alone. He can manage everything, but we should have standby our army also. So Lord Brahma called the Yadus. Yadu, chalo, we have to go with Lord Krishna. If necessity is there, we'll have some job. So in this way, Lord Krishna went to Vidarbha, and Rukmini, Rukmini sent this message, and long time, quite some time, there was no response. He was very concerned. So Krishna could know that. Krishna is within the heart of everyone. Krishna could know. So as they reached closer, Krishna said, Brahmana, you please go and give the message that we are coming. Tell her not to worry. So the Brahmana came back. When she saw Brahmana, then she was very happy, and everything is set in order. So to the the one day before the marriage, everything is arranged, and Rukmini, accompanied by all the royal assistants, and she went to the temple. All the princes who came from different parts of the world, they were waiting outside the temple to have a glance of Rukmini. They heard that Rukmini is very beautiful, and everything, so many glories of Rukmini. They just wanted to have a glance. So Rukmini went inside, and the prayers were done, and she was coming out, and all the princes were trying to get a glance of Rukmini, And Rukmini also, when she glanced, she could see Krishna for the first time. She never saw Krishna anyway. But then she heard about how Krishna is from Narada Muni. Narada Muni's descriptions are very perfect. As if the person is standing in front of you, he can describe. So she could already get the idea of how Krishna will look like. When she saw, oh, this is Krishna. And Krishna could also see. So in this way, Krishna coolly walked, and she just grabbed Rukmini and put her on the chariot, and he was just trying to go away. All the princes were like, hey, what's happening here? It is said that when a lion catches his prey like deer, the jackals will be looking like this. Hey, lion is taking like this. What jackals can do? So Krishna is like a lion just catching hold of the hand of Rukmini, and all these princes are looking like jackals. Hey, what's happening here? It is stated in the scripture that there are different kinds of marriages. Different kinds of marriages. Normal Vedic tradition marriages, father and mother arrange the marriage, arranged marriage, that's one kind of marriage. There are different kinds of marriages. Gandharva marriages. You meet somewhere and fall in love and get married. Gandharvas. And there are also Rakshasa marriage. You just go and forcefully take somebody and marry. It is stated that what Krishna was doing is Rakshasa marriage. He just forcefully took. And all the princes, they were completely stunned. What's happening here? Anyway, by the way, in Kali Yuga, all other marriages are forbidden. So we don't have to find the list and see which one we should try to figure it out to do. Not necessary, because other marriages are forbidden in Kali Yuga. So, when Krishna, in this way, was taking away Rukmini, all the other princes, they were so upset, especially Jarasandha. Jarasandha was always unhappy because his daughters were made widows because of Krishna. He was, the father of two wives of Kamsa. And they became widows, they came back to him. So he was always, upset with Krishna so much, so that he was so much fighting with Krishna, coming to Mathura and fighting. Krishna said, get lost, we are going back. No, we go to Dwaraka. That is how Krishna came to Dwaraka. Same Jarasandha, he called everybody, come, we cannot leave it like that. What is he thinking about himself? Let us fight. So in this way, he assembled all the warriors, and there was a big fight. And it is stated how, they could not withstand with the Yadus. They were all finished. One by one they were losing. And Jarasandha could see that, hey, wait a minute. We are all fighting and Shishupala is not fighting. We are fighting for him. He should also fight. He is not fighting. Then he said, no. Better we. Why should we unnecessarily fight and lose our strength? So, Jarasandha also left his fighting and went off. Then, Rukmi, who actually arranged this marriage, he's the one who arranged the marriage. So Rukmi, when he thought that no others are leaving, then he said, no, we should fight. Then he wanted to fight with Krishna. And Krishna, with his one arrow, he just snapped the bow, and the bow broken. And then he took another bow. Again, he shot and broke the bow. Like that, one after another, he broke the bows. And finally, Krishna released so many arrows so that all the horses of Rukmi's chariot were killed, and even the chariot's flag and the upper portion of the chariot also was broken. And Rukmi was rendered powerless. So much so that he wanted to even kill him. So immediately, after all, just newly getting married Rukmini, she didn't want to lose her brother. After all, he is her brother. So she was praying to Lord Krishna, no, please don't kill. Lord Balaram intervenes and says that he is already insulted. A insult is worse than death for a Kshatriya. The person is insulted. Kshatriya is worse than death. He is already insulted. His own conscience, he made something wrong. He is already insulted. Leave him. He is already as good as dead. So in this way, Lord Krishna took Rukmini And when they reached Dwaraka, they had a regular marriage also. Regular marriage according to the Vedic custom. So in this way, it is described that Rukmini is the goddess of fortune, descended to accompany the Supreme Lord Krishna in his pastimes. And Rukmini is described that, you know, she was very humble, always serving Lord Krishna, having all the good qualities. Once when Narada Muni visited Dwaraka, he gave a parijat flower to Rukmini. When Satyabhama knew that Rukmini has got a parijat flower, Satyabhama said to Krishna, same Krishna in different palace, "I want not one flower, I want a whole tree, parijat tree." So when Lord Krishna for that went to heavenly planet, he wanted to bring parijat. There was a fight with Indra. Finally he brought parijat tree, put in the courtyard of Satyabhama. And Lord Krishna thought, now that Satyabhama has got a parijat tree, maybe Rukmini also may want a parijat tree. Prabhupada explains, the nature of woman is, if somebody has, she also wants to have something. Not same thing, something better also sometimes. More. Satyabhama has got, and how can... So he was, Krishna was expecting that. But Rukmini did not ask. She was always submissively serving. And Lord Krishna has never seen the irritative face of Rukmini. She was never irritated. She was never upset. So Krishna sometimes is mischievous. So he thought that she is not getting upset for anything. Chalo, kuch to karna padega. So one day Rukmini was serving Lord Krishna. So, no, putting chamara. And Lord Krishna said, "Rukmini, I have some idea today." "Kya idea?" He said, "Actually, you are so wonderful. You are daughter of, you know, Bhishmaka, the wonderful, powerful king of Vidarbha. And, you know, I am not actually a good match for you. I am Ranchod and fighting Chodki Agaya. No, Jarasandha was fighting, I came, and I am not having a very great Kshatriya quality. Actually, you deserve better something." Krishna went on talking about his own glories, which appears to be like disqualification. You can take it the way you want to take. So, as she was, you know, doing chamara for Lord Krishna, and Krishna was went on talking like that, and Rukmini Devi, she fell down unconscious, exactly like if you cut a banana tree. Banana tree is very soft. You can cut in one stroke also. You take a knife, psh, you can cut. Immediately, boom, karki, it falls down. Exactly like a banana tree will fall down from one cut. Rukmini fell down unconscious. What is he talking about? Then Krishna saw, he fell down. Oh. Then he woke her up. She said, no, Krishna said, "I am only just joking, you know, it's not like that." "It's okay, okay, you get up." She said, "I am not hearing that as a joke." So in this way, Rukmini could not tolerate the separation of Lord Krishna. What to speak of, Krishna himself is telling that, you know, you should find somebody else. It's intolerable for her, so much so that she could even fall unconscious. So in this way, Rukmini Devi was a chaste wife of Lord Krishna, submissively serving all the time. In fact, when Sudama, the boyhood friend of Lord Krishna, visited Dwaraka, he met Krishna in Rukmini's palace. So Rukmini's palace, Krishna was sitting. When the message was delivered, immediately he brought and he made him to sit on the bed of Rukmini. Bed. And then started washing his lotus feet and serving him. And Rukmini was there also putting chamara to Sudama, because serving a brahmana. So in that way, Rukmini Devi possessed all the wonderful resources. She is Lakshmi herself. And she descends to perform pastimes with Krishna. So today is the auspicious occasion of her appearance. We pray to her for giving some quality of submissive servant service to Lord Krishna, so that we can make our Krishna conscious journey smooth. We'll stop here. Is there any question or comments?